The pro-Russian majority in Crimea may be pleased to see Russian troops in control there, but it's a different story with the region's Muslim Tatar minority. Their bitter history under Russian and Soviet rule has them worried about the new, strongly pro-Russian government in Crimea. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Simferopol.
Zahir Smedlayev, a leading member of the Crimean Tatar Parliament, or Mejlis, watched in stunned disbelief as Sergei Aksyonov was named Prime Minister of Crimea last week. Smedlayev knows Aksyonov as a small-time fringe politician, fronting a separatist party called Russian Unity, which advocates returning Crimea to Russian control. In short, someone who could never win an actual election for prime minister.
He's the leader of Russian Unity, although in criminal circles he's known by his nickname, Goblin. In the last elections, three separatist parties formed a coalition, the Russian People's Front, the Russian Bloc, and Russian Unity. Altogether, they received just over 4% of the vote. That is all the support they have from the Russian population here.
And yet, Aksyonov now claims the title of Prime Minister of the Autonomous Republic of Crimea, as well as Commander-in-Chief of Crimean Military and Security Forces. Tatars see Aksyonov not as Commander-in-Chief, but as a would-be warlord. His ascent from obscurity to political stardom was orchestrated in a bizarre closed-door parliament session in a building full of heavily armed men, after which Aksyonov asked Moscow to help defend Crimea against Ukrainian radicals from Kiev. Crimean Tatars had their own government here for centuries, until they were annexed by the Russian Empire and then became part of the Soviet Union. For them, the appearance of the Aksyonov government, combined with the sudden and growing Russian military presence, evokes memories of their darkest time, the 1944 deportation, when those who didn't die wound up in Central Asia or Siberia. Abdurrahman Egiz, a Tatar parliament member, says since returning to Crimea after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Tatars have lived in peace with all other communities here. Now, he says, they're determined not to be used as an excuse for more bloodshed.
We are occupied territory. It is foreign invasion. So we ask our people to be calm and not to go for provocations. We cannot call people to go to the streets and to organize meetings in front of political terrorists. You know, these political terrorists, they control government buildings now.
Many Tatars find it perplexing to hear Russian leaders speak about threats to the rights of Russian-speaking Ukrainians. Every Tatar interviewed for this story spoke Russian and said they have no idea when, if ever, their own Tatar language will enjoy the same rights as Russian. Despite President Vladimir Putin's recent moves on Crimea, few here believe another mass deportation is being planned. But 71-year-old Asan Said Asanov, who was 10 months old when his parents bundled him up for more than a half century of exile in Uzbekistan, says whatever the future holds, nothing will force the Tatars from their homeland again. When asked if the younger generation understands their history, he nods firmly.
Absolutely. Kids, teenagers, and adults, all of the people know one thing. We came back to the native land, to the motherland, and their whole life is connected with this land, the land of Crimea.
Tatar leaders say Aksyonov's government is making promises now of more money to repatriate Tatars still in exile, of a grand mosque, offers they see as an effort to co-opt them. When the government realizes that won't work, they say, then the real repression will begin. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Simferopol.